everybody. This is Ryan Quain, BeforeYouSubmit.com. And next to me, as always, Jim DeSantis.
How you doing?
Brain rot. So yeah, there's we have to record today. We do a lot because we have a lot of stuff coming up in the next few weeks. Big things. Last night, I actually went to the NBA Theater, and I want to give them a big shout out for everything they're doing. And as they are the main sponsors, they do the Florida Film Festival, the Ada Bar.
It's mint.
Yeah. It's mint. Leaves. Stop doing that. Because it is annoying. I'm drinking. I'm like...
While that's I'm like, what a mojito is. I know.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's disgusting. So, we saw Girl Cut in 2. If nobody has seen it, I'm going to say don't.
Really?
I loved it. I know I didn't love it. It's a B-plus film. Ludivine Sagnon.
I heard about it.
I want to keep just doing that with the accent. Like,
just do accents.
Just getting
everything
wrong that I could possibly do. I don't have to say Girl Cut in 2 in French, so maybe Niña Cut en Dos is make it sound like a Spanish film. It was good. It was good. I liked it a lot. And a lot of people are not liking it, but I gave it a thumbs up. So we're walking out of it, and we noticed that there's all these people outside, and it was the night before. It was Wednesday night. Shitload of people. And I thought it was all Beetlejuice. No, it was for another party that they're doing with this Aiden bar. So it's a good idea.
Oh, that's right. They were doing the Beetlejuice.
Yeah, so the more it happens, I guess we'll tackle it. But remember, go to enzian.org, ENZIAN.org, or the floridafilmfestival.org, and .com, floridafilmfestival.com, enzian.org.
Yes.
And it's a good idea. It really is. And I hope it works out for them. More people should be coming out to see the films, though.
They are. It seems it's kind of funny that you said that, because that's been something. I mean, not really a pet peeve of mine, but I guess somebody who's like such a film fan as I am, I've noticed that they've kind of gone a little away of just film. They've kind of expanded their portfolio.
Let's go to the menu.
Their whole portfolio.
Yeah, because it's pushed a lot of people away from going back to the Enzian.
Right.
A lot of people I know, because I'm the kid you could talk to. I'm the guy that,
right.
Oh, it's cool, you can talk to Brian Quain. Please do. I mean, I don't get it back to them unless they listen to this podcast now. But there's a lot we do miss with the menu, even me. And it's like, bento nachos, do I really want bento nachos? Maybe I just want nachos.
Right.
But I do like how you still kept the pizza, you know. And
They're trying, but also, like, not just that. I mean, not just the menu, which, agreed. I mean, I agree with you about the menu. Honestly, they're kind of getting away from, like, film food, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But also, just, like, in their whole demeanor, I mean, last year at the Florida Film Festival, I mean, who was their main guest?
The main guest... Oh, Bourdain.
Bourdain.
Are you going to say Bourdain?
Yeah, I was going to say Bourdain. Okay. No, Anthony Bourdain was
right.
He was the main guest they brought in. It cost them a lot of money. And it's because they're trying to expand their portfolio into something more than just
the film
house.
Because, you know, it is also... You're right. Because it is a food house, it's also a film house. So I think the food idea of what they were doing, like having Babette's Feast, I thought that was it's a great film to have with this food aspect. But yeah, let's see who we get this year as our main guest. We've got to go back into film. Got to go back into film and kind of have...
Well, I think it's going to say who they are. I think this year is going to tell you who they are.
Right.
I mean, at first, it started off, I mean, if you don't know the history of the Enzian, it kind of started off where it was sort of like the artsy place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Where people, you know, it was like a lot of, I mean, unfortunately, I know a lot of people worked there, but it was kind of like misfit, kind of like fun... kind of off the edge, kind of hit people that went there.
You're right.
That was kind of the class of people that were there. And they partied with the crowds, and the filmmakers came as a big party, which was fun. And then they got Josh on to help with food. They're trying to, you know, beef up their menu a little bit.
Josh Oakley is a great, great chef. He's right. Great, phenomenal. Watching him make redo everything by hand. Yeah, and it's great what he does. Redo the menu. He's done it.
Yeah, and then it spun off, into this other area where it was like
fancy eats
more thing, and then now it's getting more into the marketing. The marketing has gotten better, and it's
much
getting
better,
and
much
it's
better.
Getting into something more. Like it's evolving into this different beast, and it'll be interesting to see. I mean, and I know you'll probably know, but you won't let us know. But the secret, who the guest will be, and it'll be interesting to see if they're going to go.
There's names out there.
If they'll go back to film, or if they're going to go more toward where they're going to spend their money. It'll be interesting to see who they become.
Shannon Larimer, he jumped on. He's a great, great, great. I mean, getting nervous of what was going on with the festival, Florida Film Festival. I think he put on an amazing show for everybody. Not him, but the festival. The festival put on a great show. And he did a superb job. And I have to say congrats to him. And it shows the marketing what's going on with the Enzion right now. And see how it goes. I think they need more development with a film background. Matthew Curtis, congratulations to him and everything he's done. I love Matthew. He was a groomsman of mine. He's just a really good friend. I've been working with him for years now. So it's great to see him working so hard, but we need the film back. I think with the year, we see what they can do within a year of marketing and getting it going.
True.
Getting a Girl Cut in Two was ballsy, extremely ballsy, and the attendance showed for it. But the people who got to see it, and I congratulate everybody who went to go see it, because it's not a film that you went, oh, shit. Film of the year, let's go see it.
Right.
And I think more people saw that than they did see this week. I Serve the King of England came out this week at Winter Park, which is another one. It's a Regal, guys. It's our art house Regal, if you will. They use two screens
for art house films.
Yeah. I Serve the King of England was probably my favorite film in 10 years. This film, true. Unbelievable. It made me realize the sensuality and beauty of, again, food. Of drink, of women, of this goofy Peter Sellers-y kind of actor. He had that, I'm not saying he was Peter Sellers, but his demeanor was. So more people within this week went to go to the Enzian, and it shows that they're doing the right thing with the Enzian, with a film you never heard of. Or are you going to go to Regal when you can go see Appaloosa? Or
right.
What else came out? The whole quarantines and all that shit, you know, that's coming out. It just shows the Enzian's doing the right thing. Who's going to go see A Girl Cut in Two? No one. No one. It was ballsy to get. Now they got coming in tomorrow is Battle in Seattle.
Okay.
So two Jennifer Carpenter films out.
That was
a festival film. Yes. Same as the King of England was.
What's going on with the festival now? I know that we have the festival coming up. What's going on with the festival right now? Are you guys reviewing stuff now? Or?
Coming into films. We're watching films right now. Just saw an 8. I gave a film an 8. Watch it today.
Nice.
Yeah. Liked it a lot. So we're seeing good stuff. I'm really happy. And
it's early, so this could be a strong winner.
Yeah. Already. Yeah. I've given over an average number on some films this time around. So it's good. So we do. We have festival prep for that. We have festivals coming up. I know Movie Brain Rot will be at Scream Fest, is tomorrow.
Scream Fest is tomorrow, man.
I didn't realize that.
Well,
it is Thursday, so...
It's going on for 3 days.
I didn't mean to give that away, but because you probably won't have to listen to this until Scream Fest is over. but Scream Fest coming up, man.
It's another... We were talking about that. It's another one of those festivals that... And I don't know if we talked about that here or not, but we talk about stuff all the time.
Yeah, we do. You and I do.
We talk about, I mean it's another one of those things where, you know, with the right marketing, there's a niche for everybody. And it's another one of those situations where this is one of those crowds where if you want to people watch, even if you're not into the scene, the geekdom that is horror film festivals and things like that, the good thing about Scream Fest is that it's the last, and I'll tell you this right now, it's the last place or you can catch, you know, somebody that you're into, like another film star, like a Bruce Campbell or I'm just trying to think of people, Tom Savini, people do makeup and people that are in that side of the business where you can interact with them on a social basis.
McDowell's going to be there.
I'm talking like you can go have a beer with Leatherface. I'm talking about I'm not even kidding you, and I've done it. You can have shots, which I've done with the ghoul from Night of the Living Dead, the first ghoul.
Even Kane Hodder.
Kane Hodder,
who plays Jason.
He loves beer. That's what I'm talking about. He loves the beer. But that's what I'm talking about. Like, it's still on that level where it's not to the point where they have you sectioned off in a separate room.
Right.
It's interaction. It's not like a huge convention, because what happens is the conventions in a hotel, And those people are generally staying in a hotel, and the thing shuts down at 8 o'clock, and they're not like, now what? And exactly. So they're looking for things to do,
yeah, exactly.
And they don't know the area, and this is a perfect situation for you to intermingle with these people. And this is a really good opportunity to...
So, creepies, stay away from this. Don't listen to
oh,
this.
Oh, yeah. Creepies, please stay away. Luckily, this will be over by the time they hear
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's true.
And I'll have to book up for next year. But I heard this is going to move... This is getting really big, so I heard it's going to move into the convention center.
Dude, I remember when this thing...
It was so tiny, isn't it?
Was in this room that we're in right now.
Ridiculous.
It was just so tiny.
It's bigger, though, than the actual event. Like, the event is, I mean, honestly, the event is not a big deal. It's just it's a room with some autographs in it, and then it goes to another room, and it's got a place where they have a bunch of booths set up, like a Comic-Con, where you could buy, like, tapes that you could probably download for free on the internet. Some stupid bootlegs, they're like $20.
Yeah.
You do get some cool soundtracks there, which you can't get anywhere else. They got some weird stuff like that, some shirt vendors. That's at one room. But that's all the room is, really.
Right.
I mean, and then the other thing is, like, they have, like, screenings.
There you go. My friend Ben. Ben Rock has a film out there, guys. Alien Raiders. That's going to be playing Saturday at 1:30, so you missed it. This sucks.
But I'll see it.
But are you going to see
it? Yeah,
I hope you do, man. Ben's a great guy. Ben Rock, I hope people get to see his film. So there you go, Ben. I plugged you.
The other thing I was noticing, too, is it's different than the Florida Film Festival, is the Orlando Film Festival. I think I'm getting the name right. Orlando. I keep seeing, like, every time I see marketing for the Florida Film Festival, I always see pretty much a mimic job from the Orlando Film Festival. And I don't know if you noticed or not. I mean, usually we kind of converse on this stuff, but I haven't talked to you about it, but they put up their list of films, and I was going through their list of films.
Oh, did they?
They put their list up, and on their list, and this is where the question comes in for me. I mean, you might want to pull it up, but on their list they had...
Now that you're mentioning it, do I press pause? No, we keep
going. No, we have to keep going.
Okay. Yeah.
What was it called? Time Crimes? That's what came here, right?
Yeah. Oh,
that's the one that Cronenberg's going to do. And I know that was here last year.
Yeah.
And
Florida. Okay, people, Time Crimes? Best.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm very picky when it comes to time travel. Is Lost doing time travel? Who knows?
Yeah,
he knows. But the printing press, Lost Book Club knows. I try to. But are they? I hope so, because it's very much also like Primer. I like those times.
It's like a low-fi sci-fi. In other words,
this movie was amazing.
It's a film. The budget for the film. That's a thing too. And we could do a whole episode on that. That we really want to save this, but you know, science fiction films don't have to spend a lot of money to make a good science fiction film.
Right.
And things like Primer and Time Crimes and maybe even Cube. There's other ones that are like that. They can do things that you can be creative in your juncture to make a film good without, you know, with all the crazy special effects and CGI. What I noticed on this Time Crimes is that
I'm annoying you people by
clicking.
What I've
been noticing is that they always talk about premieres. Like they were saying premieres.
Yeah,
now that there's so many film festivals around now, I don't understand the guidelines on why they can get away with saying that is, I think they said it's an East Coast premiere.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right
now. And it played here like last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost to the point where it's even on DVD.
I think Sarasota had it. New York has played it. East Coast premiere. It's definitely not an East Coast premiere. It's basically right down the street premiere. Because Florida Film Festival is like a mile away.
It's 2 miles away from them.
Oof.
Are they allowed to do that? What's the guidelines on that?
No.
To me, I feel like it's false advertising because I follow this stuff.
Right. I think people who do appreciate film should. Oh, they have Flow. Gil Holland's film Flow, Florida premiere. No, that's not
your typical Bigfoot movie. I know you guys didn't have it here, but it was
Sarasota had that.
Sarasota had it. I saw it in Sarasota, which is.
Everybody, don't go on their site to see their list of films yet.
I don't know if they just cut and pasted or what.
Dear Zachary played.
What else is on there?
Sarasota as well.
I mean, they had a decent list of films.
Yeah, it's a decent. Well, it's a bigger list of films. Oof, no. Certifiably Jonathan was not a good film.
It's a decent list, though, but I think
it is.
They don't limit themselves to what year it is. They just take films from it. So Time Crimes came out, like, that was a big film last year, not this year. Cronenberg's doing the.
Yeah, he's doing the remake.
I think he's still doing the remake, but
that's what I heard.
His name is associated with the remake of it, which.
Well, I'm going to be honest. Okay, it's a simple cut and paste. We're gonna talk about this for a second, and maybe this is something we should tackle as maybe a film tip. And maybe a film tip for film festivals.
Right.
Because I know the people who run this aren't film buffs. They're like lawyers.
Really?
And, yeah. They're not film buff. They're not anything film. They're not anything film.
That bugs me.
Oof. This isn't good, and maybe we're going to step away from this one. But, okay. Yeah, because I don't want to...
We'll get clarification for you, though, at some point
Maybe this is a test. No, they should have released, because this festival's in November.
I really want to know what... I probably should have just hammered you with this. I probably should have told you in advance. But I really wanted to know... I thought it would be a good question to ask. Wanted to know what dictates a premiere on the thing.
You're right. They're not showing film. But that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
They're showing it on digital DVD video. Or, you know.
But it was digital video for not typical Bigfoot movie. I don't think it's ever been.
It's not going to be that. That's not going to have a print. That's yeah, never exactly. Gonna, right? You're either going to have it on beta or, you know, and that's fine. So you are supposed to charge because it's a film festival. These guys don't charge. So if you missed Time Crimes at... the Florida Film Festival.
That's maybe where they can get away with it. But yeah. You know what's funny?
No, you can't. It is not.
You know what's funny?
Premiere.
And I don't mean to get on Sarasota. I don't mean to get on Sarasota.
What's Central Florida? What there is was Central Florida premiere?
There's but like, I mean, there was some similarities even with Sarasota Film Festival with things that like back and forth with items that we were getting. You know, here at the Florida Film Festival, they were getting. Right. And they were both calling them premieres. I mean, I just want to know whoever plays it first. Yeah. Is what it should be. That's
not
what I
whoever
thought.
Books it. It's not whoever books it first. I mean. What, these guys could have probably booked Time Crimes 2 years ago, but, you know...
they read the short story about, you know...
Like, oh, we're loving this. Let's get the script now. No, it's already played. I mean, join us for the world premiere of Courting Condi.
It's a musical?
No. It looks like...
If it was a musical, because, like... That's a, you know,
it looks like they're singing, is it?
Is it a niche? I don't know.
Yeah, musical, docu-tragedy, drama, comedy. Good job. No. World premiere. Like I'm saying,
remember, like I told you, like I open up to Brian because, like I said before, and I don't know if we mentioned this
isn't
before.
Fair. This isn't fair.
It's not fair. And you know what's funny is, like I said, New York, LA, maybe we have to watch our times, but it's Orlando. So I just came right out and asked Brian. I shouldn't have probably preempted him, but
no, let's not, because we're using that word unscripted because it's true.
Orlando's unscripted. Yeah, this is unscripted.
You walk in this room and we press record. It's go.
It is.
And I tell you that, oh, look, I did that thing at the end scene last night. It's like, good. Let's talk about that. Right. And, of course, you heard the first thing we mentioned was the Ancient thing. Boom, we went into this. So let's get out of this and move on to the next one. I can't leave this, but because it kind of, like, bugs me. Oh, it bugs me. So, no, you can't be doing that. You can't be doing that. Another thing for – I'm not going to do a tip in here because the tip went well. Again, thank you, everybody, for listening to the first two podcasts.
Yeah.
I got to thank Jim for the whole pointing us in the right direction of Podomatic. We debuted pretty high this week, really
high.
That is
amazing.
We debuted at number 16 in TV and film, which blew my mind.
That is pretty sick.
So I have to thank you for that. Let's get into sci-fi films a little.
Okay.
Because, I, you know, Time Crimes, I want people to see it. I talk about it with Karen, who I do a podcast for Lost. I don't think she's ever seen Primer, and she's never seen Time Crimes. Love them. Love Primer, love Time Crimes.
You don't have to be. You don't have to be. I know that Primer was a talkie film, but you don't have to be a talkie film, you know, film with a lot of talking in it either to like really describe like what it has to be. Time Crimes, honestly, I mean, you read
the
subtitles.
Tells the whole, yeah.
And so it would drive you crazy if you had to read a book every time you saw a picture.
You know what I want to get into? Screw sci-fi. It's great. You'll love it. I want to get into something, and maybe this could take up in the last 10 minutes. Our international. Actors for Americans as we watch. I brought this up last night at dinner. When we see an international actor, are they bad or are they good because we can't tell by their accent?
Interesting.
Do you ever think about that?
No, you're completely right.
Because somebody was saying that there was this actor who was like, oh, I couldn't follow them because of this reason, that reason, and they just didn't seem like a good actor. It was maybe because I was reading it, and I was like, no. And this is something I try to tell people. When there is an international... If I'm watching a film, I could tell... I can tell if someone's acting poorly or not. How do we tell? How do we tell?
Well, that's funny you say that because there are people here that we kind of laugh off and think that they're not very good. And there's people in France that think that like, they are amazing because maybe their hand motions and they're wild. Like, perfect example is Jerry Lewis. Jerry Lewis is a huge hit over in France. I know it's not what you want to hear, but he's
huge
hit.
I do.
He's a huge hit in France because...
I like the other way, switching
sides. Because what's going on is that they are... you know, we're visual, so we're watching what's going on.
Right.
You know, we're watching, like, his hand movements and how crazy and Jackie wild he's Chan. Being. Filling, yeah, Jackie Chan, filling the whole screen, and immediately we embrace him. And that's why people like Jackie Chan come to the United States to make his movies now, because, honestly, we're his audience now.
Exactly. We are,
yeah. We are his audience now.
Peter Sellers, why was he so good? I know he's a British actor, but people said the same thing of his comedic acting. I mean, because then you see Being There, and you're like, oh my god, I mean, he really...
Because he can fill a screen, and then he can shrink.
Ever see Heavens Above?
No. I don't think I saw that
He
one.
Plays a priest in this film. Very serious. At the same time, his undertone is very goofy at times. Not him, but the story. Phenomenal. Heavens Above, I think, is one of the perfect ways to see a Peter Sellers film.
Really?
If you're wondering if he's a good actor or not. Maybe the story's kind of ridiculous, but he was great. And I think you can get it on DVD. I'm pretty sure you
well, there's,
can watch it.
There's other people. I know what you're saying. Like, when you can't understand a word they're saying at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, there's
there's some people that come over, though. I mean, before I saw, was it Penelope Cruz? I never knew. Like, she was mm-hmm. a completely, you know, an actress that was, you know, didn't speak English at all at one
no,
point.
Yeah,
she had
she
no...
was a phenomenon.
She was, I mean, I was amazing when I would see her. I was so blown away by her beauty and, like,
there you go.
And what she did. And
maybe
I was so blown away from
her.
Now, when she does her American films and she's acting in her films, I don't really think that they're that great. I'm
no.
like,
and maybe she's not. I mean, you see, like,
maybe she's not that good.
Let's go into her last one besides Elegy and Vicky Cristina Barcelona, the Woody Allen film.
She did what? Revolt Bear?
Oh, Volver. She
well,
did,
there.
Yeah, Pedro Almodóvar's film.
But see, by then, I was already straight away.
So those were, let's look at those three, because everybody...
She went back, though.
Loves her. Exactly. So is she a good actress? I think because Scarlett Johansson can't really act, sorry,
she
especially
can't.
In a Woody Allen film.
He loves her, though.
He loves her.
He loves the way she loves her young look, though.
Yeah, and now that she's married to Ryan Reynolds, whoop, swept her under the rug, so she's done now.
She's
not going to be... Yeah, she's not going to be...
That's how he does it, though.
Yeah, that's exactly how he does it. So, a lot of people, like, when they see an international film, what are tips to make sure people can see the true actor or actress that you're seeing on the screen? Because there's a lot of times you watch a film, you're just like, oh man, the film told the story, da da da. International film stars here in the States never get praise like they should. Like, many don't. Like I was talking about the lead actor in I Serve the King of England, adorable, big nose. He was like, you know, blonde headed, really like, ooh, like really
right.
baby facey kind of had still had the, you know, not the R&B singer, but baby facey
sure.
still had like the little baby face on him. And he had that, he has this look. He has like, even what, like a Peter Sellers had, maybe let's even go with Jim Carrey, you know.
Can you make a film though? Can you make a film? Can an actor make, like, the true test is when an actor goes from another country, makes a film, and then he comes to the States and makes a film where he's not, his English isn't very good, but he's still
right.
doing a good job. Perfect example is Bellini,
Roberto Benigni?
Yes.
Oh, God, yeah.
He's
can
perfect
he
example.
Can
he barely
act?
Talk.
He can barely say it. You saw him at the Oscars when he won.
He
stood
he
on a
chair. Speak.
Almost stuck his penis in people's heads, but he still got up there and said, I want to make love to you on the sun. Okay.
Yeah, but
he
can barely speak
is,
English. Really,
he's
can't.
Unbelievable. He can't speak English. He can't
no, but
speak
he,
English.
But you can tell he's a good
but
actor.
He's great. He's
and
phenomenal.
He can, even though he's making, he made a movie, another film. He's made American films.
He does. Yeah, Jim Jarmusch picked him out perfectly. I mean, you watch Down by Law,
right?
He is great in that film. Most people's first film to see Roberto Benigni would have been Life is Beautiful.
Life is Beautiful.
And
it's
it
what put him on a map
film.
Here.
It definitely put him on a map here. So go back. Go back to Down
so
by Law.
Was it Son of Pink Panther?
You know, it might as well been because I don't know how many people really went to go see Life is Beautiful in the theater. It was a big renter, I'm sure.
It was.
So go rent Son of the Pink Panther. He's adorable, though. I think we're mentioning comedic actors. We really are.
Because they're big.
That is it. Is that what makes them the actor? Is the,
well, even Charlie Chan is comedic, really.
Yeah.
If he didn't learn comedy, he would have died. He would have died out here in the United States. He had to learn that comic timing. And to be a comedian here, and you know his English isn't very good.
No. Jackie Chan is he's a
his audience is here though. And if you don't believe me, that Jackie Chan's audience is here. His cartoon was American.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it was all
you know,
American.
A little off the subject, but the same thing. But you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts from a lot of different countries, and there's one in there's one in Britain. It's called Mondo Movies, which I highly recommend.
Yeah, you do.
And they talk about how they love American films. They love American horror films. They're more a horror film based. You know,
mm-hmm.
they love American horror films, but they they hate the fact that everybody's trying to imitate. Now they're trying to imitate our, because we're where the money is. Yeah, right, all of our films. Because they're trying to, like, I'm saying, like, The Valet. Not just...
Oh, yeah.
It's an American film with foreign...
Completely. Yeah, you're right.
It's an American film. It's got the American beginning, the American end.
Right.
It's not like it used to be with the French films where they ride off with a bike and a piece of bread, and then you're like, you have to figure it out. And that was the cool thing about it being a French film. Now they're an American film with French speaking in it. That's all it is. You're like, it's completely American. You're like,
here comes the fumbling, you know.
Yeah, he's fumbling around, and he meets the girl, and it's like he ends with the girl. Yeah. Yay!
Everybody's happy. You're right.
And so they were really happy that now there's a whole regime of horror films coming out of France that are trying to do something different, like Martyrs, which I've mentioned to you before, and you mentioned back before.
I'm waiting
desperately for that film,
right.
Which is supposed to kill and put on the map at the same time those sex exploitation, what do they call it? The torture films? The horror torture films?
Yeah, torture porn.
Torture porn?
Yeah.
It's like, this movie's supposed to, like, put it on the map again, and then, like, completely, like, disgust people so much it takes it off.
Good. I'm into that. I love...
Like, it's like the ending of it. It's like the film you're gonna be like, the finale. It's like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da! This is the end!
Yeah,
it's like a Scream 2 was the end of all the damn comedic slasher films.
Yeah, let's hope those are gone. Like,
no, but I just wanted to say, like, that's true.
Yeah, and I think that that's a good point. I got to get into Mondo Movie. I got to get into more podcasting because I like what we have here. Maybe what happens when I cross over and I start listening to other podcasts?
It's interesting.
Is it dangerous?
It is dangerous.
Am I going to start becoming?
Don't cross the streams.
That's what I called descriptions. I said we're crossing the streams. So that was with jumping genres. So.
Yeah, don't cross the streams. And, you know, no, I think it's really good to listen to other podcasts because it's good. I mean, it's not good to base what we're doing. I mean, it's kind of nice that we got something fresh here because we're kind of untouched. We don't know,
we know what's going on. Yeah.
But it is interesting to see the way they put it together. I mean, they're on like 108 podcasts or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean, like, it's interesting to see like where they evolve.
Four or five.
When you listen to their first podcast, you listen to their 100th podcast, they're completely different. They've evolved into this different beast.
Yeah. I mean, look at the one I just did with the Lost Book Club. I mean, with the printing press.
Yeah.
Who knew I was going to put audio clips from the
show? Oh, is that awesome?
Do you remember when I started? I was even putting little sound effects into the Wizard of Oz one where you hear, oh, it was like, this is cheesy. And everybody laughed. But it was fun.
It's interesting. And I think that the podcast in general, I mean, I caught on to the podcast late, like you. I was not an early podcast listener. I was one of the first people to get on the podcast. I'm not one of these people that claims to be the first guy.
No, but you were really gung-ho.
Yeah, I think that because I really missed the boat on this the first time around. Like, I think that, like, now that, like, it's almost like where comedy went, like, in the 80s. Like, there was always comedians that came in the 80s. There was really good ones that came out in the 80s. And then all of a sudden it died out because everybody was like, I'm sick of comedy. That's where podcasts are now. But the good ones are still there. Like, the good podcasts are still hanging around. They're still hanging around. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And now it's getting to the people where people really want to do them. It's like, you have to really want to do it because people have to look for a podcast. It's not like you're just popping on.
Right. iTunes make it so easy to find one now. I'm using quotations because they have podcasts, this. They have so many genres.
They do.
So we're going to go look at genres and we're going to go look at podcasts. We're going to be back soon. Yeah. And we'll be back with some more
Can I do a cheap plug?
Do it.
Okay. It's moviebrainrot.podomatic.com.
Yes.
I just want to throw that out.
And Lost Fans, there's the printingpress.podomatic.com, and then you found us before you submit.
.podomatic.com. All right, that's all I had to say.
Don't forget, you could find before you submit at beforeyousubmit.com. You could find us also Twittering, Facebooking, and also MySpacing. So, all right, guys, we'll see you soon. Take it easy.